Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right, we're going to start in on our Christmas series for this month. We're going to have a great time doing that. If you will, flip with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to find it here for you. If you're using our Bibles, you're going to be in page 723. Luke chapter 1, or page 723. I want to talk to you about this idea of the thrill of hope. And the thrill of hope this morning comes from, do I get my PowerPoint going there? Is from the O Holy Night Christmas Carol. It's one of my favorites, but as you go into this Christmas carol, and it seems like it's a little bit somber, right? A little bit soft, maybe even sad in this Christmas carol. What I like about in O Holy Night is it cast this idea that perhaps we've been waiting for something. And in the midst of waiting, how many of y'all know we can get weary in waiting? And just as you think about your own life, what are some maybe promises from the Lord that you've waited for? What are some hopes that you have that are out there that you've hoped that would come to pass and that you're longing to happen? Maybe in your job, maybe in your marriage, perhaps in different things in your community, maybe just breakthrough that you're waiting on the Lord, like, God, I've been seeking you for some answers, and I just got to hear your voice. I need a now answer, and it feels like the heavens have been silent, right? And here in O Holy Night, it says, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and a glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. It's interesting how the Bible shares this story of Jesus because it seems like it's such an unconventional Christmas. And maybe you're heading into an unconventional Christmas. Maybe we're going to see this family, and we used to see that family, but we don't anymore, and there's maybe some different tension points and friendships, and maybe we used to celebrate a certain way, now there's different traditions. Maybe we can afford new things, maybe we can't, and it's just kind of it's just a mix of all of these different things, and just whatever the conventional way of doing things, maybe it's going to be different this year. And that's okay, because the very first Christmas from the jump was pretty different. So God, for 4,000 years, had been prophesying about this coming Savior. All the prophets had been leaning up to it, and there's going to be this Savior, and he's going to be born of a virgin, and this is where he is going to be born, from Bethlehem, and there's going to be a decree, and they're going to wipe out kids, but through all of the death is going to come life, and his name will be called Emmanuel. This is out of Isaiah, and Emmanuel simply means that God is with. Isn't that cool that God is no longer disconnected, or he's just some stoic being in heaven talking through other people? He's going to be in it with us. And so Emmanuel will be here in it with us. So for 4,000 years, we have recorded in Scripture, that's what the prophets are. Prophet simply means speaking the word of the Lord. And so men and women for years and years and years have been speaking these words that there's a Savior that's coming. And then what happens between the Old Testament, the end, we see here. Right here, we see at the end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4. It's interesting how we end Malachi. And it says that he's sending you the prophet, like Elijah, before a great multitude, before the day. But here's what he's going to do. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Interesting last verse of the Old Testament, and then he closes the scripture. And for 400 years, there's silence. 400 years between this last scripture in the Old Testament until the very first scripture in the New Testament. 400 years of waiting. You ever have, like, your dad say, "Hey, we're going to play catch when I get home from work." And you're waiting, and you're waiting. And you got your ball glove, right? And you're just staring out the window waiting for him to pull in. And you're eager, and you're ready. And it goes longer and longer and longer. And he's got to work over. And maybe it just doesn't happen. Can you imagine being told something is going to happen, and then you've got to wait, and not just wait one day, not just wait maybe a week, or even wait a couple years. Can you imagine waiting 4 centuries for something to come to pass that you're aching for, that's going to bring liberation, that's going to restore mankind back in relationship with the Father? I mean, this is the greatest promise ever, is God is going to become a man. He's coming to you, and he's going to be in it with you. God himself, he's going to get into the grind with you every day. He's coming. Just wonder how many times we also just show up to church and we hear maybe messages that are supposed to lift our spirits and warm our hearts toward the Lord, and yet perhaps we don't see the breakthrough, and sometimes we can get weary in well-doing. We can get weary in waiting sometimes. Maybe you get weary in waiting for that spouse to ever turn back to the Lord. Perhaps you get weary in waiting for your kids to return back to God. Can I just encourage the wait to continue to wait well? Because God is good and his promises are sure. They are yes and they are amen. And this morning, I'm not contending to try to provoke some emotionalism inside of you. I'm trying to get your spirit to survival. We're going to fight in our spirits to bust through the weariness of waiting. And when our hopes get high, it seems like the wait gets longer. Doesn't it? If I've never really hoped for a thing, I really wasn't counting the clock to see how long it took to get here, because it didn't matter. Y'all remember when you first got the internet? There was this little noise that popped on. That was the coolest noise ever, wasn't it? That was cool. It took like 3 minutes to get onto the internet. It was awesome. You're like, no way, I can access like pictures from China from here. And then you click on that picture of a polar bear or whatever. And we didn't have compressed images then. And so it would load the entire thing. Line after line after line. And you'd wait 20 minutes and stare at it. This is awesome. This is the coolest thing. Now you hop on your phone, you got access to everything, you just flip, you just saw 100 pictures and you didn't even know what it was. But you just registered all of it. Yeah, that was great. The other day I actually had to switch over from, I think I was maybe at the church walking over to the Parsons, I had to switch which Wi-Fi I was on, and it took like 3 seconds to jump over, and I was annoyed. This is frustrating. Get it together. Okay, finally. Oh my gosh, I was disconnected for 3 seconds. It was crazy. Isn't it amazing what happens? We lose the ability to have endurance and stamina. We don't have emotional stamina in our spirits anymore for the waiting and the longings of God. Yes, they're so good and I want them, but I'm just tired of waiting. Therefore, God, you're not good because you won't do it now. You won't bring this now. And there's a time frame that I'm kind of working on here, and if you could just hurry it up, and you're not doing it. And so I'm going to judge you and say that you're just not up to snuff on how fast this thing ought to be happening. As we jump in here to Luke chapter 1, we see as Malachi chapter 4 closed the scriptures, it says, I'm going to send you someone in the spirit of Elijah. And his whole job is family restoration. He's going to turn hearts of fathers back to the children, hearts of children back to their fathers. I'm going to send you someone. And for 400 years, nothing. And then we come to Luke chapter 1. And jump in here with me in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Whenever Malachi chapter 4 says that I'm going to send you someone with a spirit of Elijah and then 400 years of silence, prophets were no longer hearing from God. Their voices were hushed. Their pens were dried up. They had nothing more to say. And now we see people who are serving the Lord faithfully. We see this person, Elizabeth, and her husband, Zechariah, that have served for years in the church. And how many of y'all know many times in serving, there can also be barrenness in your personal life. And as they're serving, and they're many years advanced in age is what the Bible says, and she's never been able to have a child, but she's been holding on to prophecies. She's been holding on to God is still good. And her heart stays right. She says that she served the Lord blamelessly, keeping her heart in position. You ever feel like you've just done it right? And it's just, you just don't catch the break. I feel like I've done everything that God's asked me to do, and it's just not happening for me. I feel like I was innocent in this situation. Why is the injustice coming to me? I feel like, right, and we can defend ourselves. What we don't read about Elizabeth is her defense. We don't read about how Zechariah tried to justify himself. All we see that's recorded of their life is that they continued to faithfully serve. The word hope has a cool definition to it. The word hope means to cherish, a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or for something to be true. You ache for it and you want it to happen and you treasure it and you cherish it. And I just want this to be true. I got to get my hopes up. Anybody, you're really good at getting your hopes up. And what happens sometimes, and what Proverbs chapter 13 says, is that when we get our hopes up and hope keeps getting pushed off, hope gets deferred, it makes our hearts sick. You ever been hope sick? I've been hoping for something for so long. Go to the next one. I've been hoping for something for so long that it would happen, but it just isn't happening. Maybe you're just seeking God on that next season of life. Maybe you're coming to the end of your career, and God, what is it? And I was thinking retirement was going to be something like this. I thought grandparenthood would be this. God, I'm seeking you for my kids. Like, I need a breakthrough with my children right now. Maybe you're waiting for God to bring you a spouse, and you're just hanging in this waiting time, in this waiting area. There's a time whenever I was just recently was flying to Florida, was getting ready we were on the airplane, and as we're getting ready to leave, they say that one of the flights is running late, and they're getting ready to use the runway, and there's some other planes that are trying to land, and they're all just circling, and so we just have to wait, and we're sitting here. I'm like, I didn't come here to wait. Let's get the show on the road. And there's all these other things that are happening around me that I don't even know about. And these people are coming in. And all these different cross patterns are happening throughout the whole country. And they're all trying to land here. You can't do that now. I got to leave. Don't you understand that I have a schedule? There's 6,000 other schedules and it doesn't work with mine. And so now I have to wait. And finally, we get off and get going, and there's nothing more frustrating than knowing that you are ready to fly, and you're eager to fly, and you're ready to get going, maybe on your relationship with the Lord, or for whatever God has the next season of life, and all you are left doing is waiting. We've got to be in this waiting period, and what happens over the course of time is that hope gets pushed off again. Yeah, not you, the other guy will get promoted. It's not going to happen for your business. This other guy will get the job. It's not going to happen, and everything else gets pushed back, and what happens is the heart gets sick, especially during Christmas. I believe that Mary had to lock in more on the promise than on the problems. She had to focus on something that God had promised to her rather than all of the problems going on around here. And in order to have perseverance in our spirits, Mary had to have that. Elizabeth had to have that. Let's keep reading here in verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, verse 9, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time of the burning of the incense came and the assembly of worshipers were praying outside, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." This is John the Baptist. Now check out what John the Baptist is going to do. He will be a joy and a delight to you. I got this prayer down deep in my spirit, and ever since Judah was born, we pray the same prayer over our children that the angel prophesied over John, that you will be a joy. You will bring joy to your fathers and mothers. You will turn the hearts of many back toward the Lord. You'll come with the spirit of Elijah. We pray this over our children. Check this out. He will be a joy and a delight to you. How many parents want that from your kids? Just be a joy to me, please. Be a delight. Just bring me some delight. And many will rejoice because he was born. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or a fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Spirit even from birth. Many people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before them, before the Lord, in the Spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient of the wise and the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Fascinating. The scriptures close with there's someone coming in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers and children back to each other, and then silence for 400 years. For the angel, the next time he opens his mouth, he says, he's coming, and he's coming to you, blameless heart. Blameless and pure heart who has been waiting for this, and his son, and he's going to be a joy to you, and you'll name him John, and you're going to celebrate over him. Now, what we know about Elizabeth and the Virgin Mary, they are related. They are cousins. And so the very next scene is another angel, and she's coming to a young woman. So we've got an older woman, Elizabeth, who's about to have a baby. Then we've got a younger woman, a teenage girl, Mary, who an angel shows up and says, you're about to have a baby. The two biggest rock stars of the New Testament are about to come on the scene, Jesus and John the Baptist. And the angel says, you've waited well. Can I encourage you, church, that something big is going to come if we continue in the wait? And I'll tell you, in the midst of the wilderness will mark out the winners from the wannabes. Those who want to stay in it and hang in it and who have the endurance to trust the Lord through all situations and circumstances, who don't get rattled in the midst of suffering, who don't get rattled in the midst of confusion or despondency or depression. No, we stay locked in. We trust in God. He is good. He is faithful. He is for me and not against me. His promises are yes and amen. He will arrive on the scene. He will show up for me. If I am good to stay here and to deploy an extreme amount of patience and trust in God, that he is good. The story's not over yet. And God is for you. He really is. And this isn't emotionalism. This is trying to get your spirit to fight, to stay in the game. No matter what we have been waiting for and laboring for, promises will come to pass. God is not a liar. Man, I feel like defending the character of God right now. He is not a liar. He has never lied to you once. And so don't assume that God spoke something to me and he hasn't done it. He's a liar. The story isn't over yet. You're still here. You're still breathing. God still has more in store for you. It's the thrill of hope. Right when you thought it was down and out, here comes the thrill of hope. something that you've ached for and you've wanted to be true, he's going to bring to pass. We go on here and check this out in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, who was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What's interesting about this is he calls her highly favored, and then she goes through suffering. Hey, come to Jesus. Give your heart to the Lord. It'll be all good. And then nobody wants to be your friend. Bill Lowe shares this testimony all the time. He's like, "I used to love my life, and then I became a Christian. And then all my friends left me." Now he'll testify life is a whole nother level of joy and pleasure. But there was an adjustment period. Mary gets called into the biggest calling on the planet. You're going to raise the Son of God. Mary, here's what you're called to do. You're going to be a teenager. You're going to be unwed. It's going to be totally uncouth in your day to be pregnant and not be married. And go ahead and tell them the story that you've never had sex. You're still a virgin. And just watch the scandal that goes around your small little village. It'll be fun. Trust me. It'll be great. And so people are just going to probably not rally around your vision. You're going to have to tell this story to your parents and hope that they let you stay in their house and not kick you out of town, because if you were sexually impure, you had to leave the village. So welcome to that potential also. Probably not going to go to prom this year, Mary. Prom dress isn't going to fit. It's just you're not going to be a normal teenager. You're going to raise God. You're going to watch this precious thing be sacrificed. You're going to watch him die. And then when he comes back to life, you're going to submit your life back to him. Cool? And there's no book on this. There's no training ground on this. Nobody's ever done it before, but you're going to do it and you're 14. So let's do it. And invites her in to this crazy invitation. Says that you're favored. And life hits the fan. Interesting. Mary was greatly troubled at this, verse 29, and she wondered, what kind of greeting is this? Right? You ever get that email? Like, what kind of an email is this? What kind of a phone call? What kind of a voice message is that? Come on. It's like a backhanded compliment. Hey, you're highly favored. And a lot of hardship is about to come. And you will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne to his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That's a little daunting. Raise that as a son in your house. How will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word." Fascinating, her response. I'll tell you this. God has consistently moved people's lives around in all kinds of weird ways to get you to where he wants you to get to. Throughout history, why would we assume that our lives would be any different? Why would I assume that my line is going to be from A to B and it's going to be a clear shot? It's fascinating just to watch the own story of my life. To go from Rigdon to Upland to Taylor to Crown Point to the back of a kitchen in southeast Louisiana to Fairmount. what in the world is that? Could be a little confusion in there, and there also could be a lot of brilliance from the Lord. What's your storyline, and what has God done? And it hasn't been wasted time. It's just been waiting time for him to put you strategically where he needs you to get. Why would you assume that he's going to do anything else? He does this in our lives, and we think that maybe he's messing with our lives. He's just crafting them to make really good stories. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, maybe sometimes we feel like God has overlooked us. And in 35, God hasn't overlooked us. He's overshadowed us. And he's come over the top to be in our lives and to protect our lives and to comfort our lives and to bring blessing to our lives. And then verse 37, no word from God will ever fail. Church, I just want to encourage your hearts today. God is good. And even if it seems like it's been a minute, he's still good. And even if it seems like he's not working on your time frame, he's still good. He's still faithful. He will bring blessing back to your life. Right, Mary? It might be some hardship. It might be some suffering. There might be some death and some loss along the way. But I'll tell you, the only thing better than life is resurrection. You've tasted life and you go through the suffering of death and you come out alive on the other side. God is all about redemption and he's all about bringing things that once were lost, found again, things that were dead, alive again, things that were blind, they can now see. He's all about flipping the script in our lives. I'm going to wrap with this. If I had to think in my own life, I have a one and only son. I have a one and only son. And if it was up to me to sacrifice my one and only son for the rest of mankind, you better hope you catch me on a good day. Because the majority of the days, I would say, mankind is out of luck. Can you imagine being brought to this point, perfect, blameless, amazing son, and I'll sacrifice him for you? For you, for me. There's a game plan the entire time. Can we trust God's game plan that it will end in redemption for us? And if we're good and waiting, redemption is always sweeter when our hearts have been right all along. This passage of scripture, Proverbs 13:12, it ends like this. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come to pass, or when desires are fully realized, or when we've waited a long time and what we've been hoping for and aching for, when it finally comes to pass, it's like a tree of life. Let's not only read half of the verse. Let's not only live half of the story and see that hope has been deferred. Let's continue into this verse and continue into this story, knowing that there is a tree of life waiting for you if we will just endure until the end. Amen? I just want to encourage your heart. God's good. He's good. He's never left you. He'll never forsake you. And he will bring redemption your way. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? Jesus, we thank you that there is a thrill, there is a joy, there is excitement around hope. And that God, we do not want to be a hopeless church. We don't want to have a hopeless spouse. We don't want to have hopelessness toward our children. Jesus, we want to stay in the game. Lord, I pray that you would put endurance in our spirits. Jesus, I pray that we would not get weary in the waiting, that we would not get weary in the wilderness. But Jesus, you would have us bust through. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would not just overlook us, but you would overshadow us. In the midst of it all, that you would provide like a halo of blessing in the midst of the suffering. Lord, continue to be good in our church family. Continue to release your blessing over Fairmount Friends. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be right back.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.